Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. So excited for our guest today, Brianna Kohler. Funny story, Brianna and I had worked for the similar nonprofit agency, an education one. So I've been following her. She's probably an inspiration of why I became a creator in the first place. So excited to have her. She is a mom of three hailing from Cleveland, Ohio. And she started her YouTube videos 8 years ago to help other moms navigate breastfeeding while working a 9-to-5. And over the years, she has documented her pregnancy journeys and life through moving through Hawaii and back Ohio after her divorce. She is known for sharing cleaning motivation, home decors, vlogs, and routines on her socials. She loves sharing easy and festive recipes in her cookbooks and her videos. I can attest to them, y'all. They are delicious. I'm very much an avid consumer of her delicious recipes. And she recently launched her own cleaning product line called Cap and Queen, made with clean ingredients and luxury seasonal scents. A former teacher, she loves connecting with other women to encourage and support each other through motherhood and help guide other women who want to create businesses through their online business. Well, welcome, Brianna. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
I know. It's so funny. I feel like, you know, like in the universe, they say there's like a 6 degree of separation for most people.
Yes.
I feel like you and I have been had a half a degree for decades, probably.
For a long time. Yeah. It's been a long time coming.
Right. For context, I came on the nonprofit we work for, there's thousands of people on the staff. And I think Brianna was on her way out right as I was coming on to her. To the team, and there's a team of 300. So it was just as I started creating my content, which was after you left, everyone's have you heard of Bits of Brie? And I was oh, I don't know. And I would just follow and I was just in awe. So this is coming full circle and it feels awesome to do this.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love this.
Okay. So let's start. Tell me about your journey into motherhood. You're a mom of three. Tell me about how that was.
Yeah. It's interesting how you're saying just the universe works in interesting ways. I had started what at the time was my dream job. Yeah. I got recruited by another executive where we worked to go do this.
Right.
It was my dream. I was working in downtown Cleveland. You have a crazy work ethic.
Yeah.
I think you have to be a part of.
Yes. It's a very doer of all things, scrappy. We get stuff done, nonprofit life. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, and then this more corporate environment, I just was able to work through the ranks very, very fast and got that corner office and was at the same time getting married. So I was planning this wedding and working this dream job. And all of a sudden, 3 months after we were married, I didn't realize that I was pregnant because I was actually on birth control. And
can I stop? Same with my first. I've never met anyone else. Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
I've never met anyone else. I just, okay. It's possible. Just FYI, y'all.
Yep. And so it was one of those things. I always wanted kids, but I just didn't expect it at that time. So my Landon, he's my biggest blessing surprise that I could have asked for. But funny story, my best friend at the time, she was 6 months pregnant. And I just kind of was telling her how I was feeling. She's like, "Are you pregnant?" And I was like, "I don't think so." But she went to go buy me the pregnancy test with her 6 month belly. And she said, the cashier was like, "Are you making sure it's still in there?" And she's like, "No, no, no, this is for my friend." So sure enough, I was. So it was really cool. Got to be pregnant with my best friend and all of that. But once I had Landon, I was really anxious about when those 12 weeks, I was really grateful to have the 12 weeks that I got because I know a lot of women thank you, United States, yes, don't get great maternity care like other countries around the world do. But I had the entire pregnancy, every week I had watched this woman, Anna Saccone's pregnancy update. She did like a weekly update, and it just helped me feel like I had this best friend on YouTube that when, you know, you had those weird symptoms at 18 weeks, you're like, okay, she's feeling that too. So like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. 100%.
And then upon going back to work, I couldn't find a single video that was saying, here's what you should pack if you're bringing your pump to work. Mm. Or like, I could find blogs that had some of that, but I wasn't seeing any videos, and I'm a visual person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I went to, my undergrad was broadcast journalism, which I didn't use because I ended up joining TFA.
Joining TFA, being a teacher.
And so I was like, maybe this could scratch that itch that like, I always loved editing videos, and it was just totally a thing. I was like, I'll do this to help other moms the same way that those pregnancy updates helped me. And didn't realize you could make money doing this. So it was totally just doing it out of like, oh, I want to just connect to other moms. Like when I was traveling for that job, I'd be in airport pumping rooms, and I would write on the little thing, like, if anybody else wants to connect, I'm Bits of Brie on Instagram. So,
I love you.
That was how I found some of like my first little core community members. And then, you know, you just start sharing more of your life. So then it was, we were having a second baby. We had to move. We were in a really small house at the time. So we were moving to a new house. And that's really when all this blew up, is I was moving to this house and I was decorating it, and I shared a house tour. And I think that was my first video with like over 1 million views.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, because then this whole other audience came in that was like, we're here for the more homemaking and how you're decorating and all of that. So there's always been like a mommy pregnancy group, but then there's also other people that it's like, give me the good decor. We want to see the decorating stuff and the cleaning and all that. So
that totally resonates, because it's interesting when, and I love how you name like your intention behind creating a platform was really to connect with other parents. Like, I've had a lot of creators on this podcast. A lot of the resources I share are moms who potentially want to be, you know, stay at home with their kids more and create a business online or be a creator. And like, the number one thing I say is like, do it because you have like a mission, like do it because it comes from the heart of wanting to help others or connect with others. Don't do it to be seen in like what you think comes with it, because I think like I think people randomly blow up, quote unquote, with something you don't even realize is going to be the thing that like brings you all the attention.
Yep.
And then you start helping people in a different way than you even think. Like, it's your home decor. It's like all the things. I get like very calm when I watch your cleaning videos. Like, I didn't know that I was a person that enjoyed watching people clean. And I was like, I feel things are better. I don't know if I'm going to get up and clean, but I feel like I did, or I feel like I'm calming. So it's just interesting that you name like one, it was a goal to help others and connect with motherhood in like a place that can feel so lonely and isolating when you're first having your babies and not knowing what to do. And then two, it could be the most random piece of like content that you create that's like, oh, okay, that's my thing now. And it kind of just, oh, and I can make money? What? Like,
totally.
I love that. I love that. So, okay, as you are now like YouTubing, huge like platform, and you're sharing your journey online on Instagram as well, what has been like some of the more challenging things that you have faced as a creator? And specifically, I think a mom creator, right? I think it's a little different than like other creators.
Yeah. So back when, and sometimes I would be like, I don't know how I did this back then. I used to do 3 YouTube videos a week.
Girl.
While I was still working full time. Girl. Yeah. Because I actually like went back to them like... So I had multiple stints. And I mean, really, I think the only way that I, like when I've been like, how are you doing this? One, I think I was just making it such a part of just sharing my everyday. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of the content now is more curated. It's more, okay, I have to go get these items to do a DIY, or have to go get these decorations. Like back then I was sharing a lot more, here's what my daily life looks like as I'm traveling and bringing my pump through security and then in a hotel room at night. And that's the other piece of it. I'm like, you were in a hotel room at night when you were traveling a lot. So I think I just had more alone time where I was just like, okay, I'm going to edit my stuff. Even though I was like working around the clock, I was just like able to like almost constantly be working. Whereas now that I'm home with my kids, I'm like, they're priority number one. So yeah. I can only get one video out a week because it's just way too hard. And the older ones stay up later now. So I used to have a routine too of get the kids to bed at like 7:30 and then have 2 or 3 hours to bust out more work. And now like they're not in that zone. They're like, if you're up, we still want to be up.
100%. 100%.
It's a lot harder to do it at this age. So I'm really grateful for God's timing of like how he allowed everything to happen when it did. Cause I really do. I'm like, I don't know if I could start now and produce the amount of content that I did at the beginning to really grow.
Yeah.
The way that I was able to.
And you really have to do it like with a love of it. Like you said, your background was in, you always were good at editing videos. Like I get so many questions. We had one for the two of us where just like, who's your cameraman and all the like, or like, what's your team? I'm like, you got to, we're our team. Like, it's like, there's no, like, it's not like a commercial where like most, if you like, if you're hired by a brand and like they have a commercial, you go to a set, got hair and makeup, a camera, a director, a script. If you are really wanting to be a creator, you got to get all those skills. Like, and they might be, you know, a little scrappy and that's fine, but that's what it takes. And it takes this grit that I think you just really love what you're doing. It doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel forced and you feel authentic to how you're showing up. And I love that about a lot of your videos too, like now and before, just like you are authentically you. And I think for me, I'm like not a good vlogger. Girl, I try. It's like hard. I can't, I'm like, wait, I got to like, it's just, it's much easier for me to like come up with a concept or a script in my head and then do it. So like, it's just always show up as like what's easy for you to do. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And yes. And that's like really great advice. Cause I do think there's so many women out there who are like, could I do this for myself? And I really, in my courses, cause I taught courses on a YouTube channel. I think it is so important to be like, what are you not going to get tired of doing? Cause if you're just going to copy somebody else, cause you see that they're successful at it, you're probably going to get bored and burnt out so fast. There's this Japanese concept. Have you ever heard of Ikigai?
Yes. I'm actually going to a thing for that this weekend. Anyways, yes.
And that's like, I think the biggest thing that for women at home, if you're like, hey, could I do something online? Or even if it's not online, could I do my own side hustle business? Yes. Right? Because I feel like that's like we all feel with motherhood. It's like motherhood is this job in and of itself.
100%.
But if I wanted to do something else on the side. So it's like, what is something you're naturally good at? So that it's not difficult for you and there isn't this like really hard learning curve, then what is something that you could make money? And I think a lot of it is like, you know, there are tons of ways online to have a business to host that you can really turn what's easy for you. But what do you love? Like, what is that hobby that just like, I could do this all day long and never get tired of it, or maybe not all day long, but I could at least do it every day and not get sick of it. And then can it help other people? And that's like the secret sauce, because it really is people in these online communities. They come back because they're like, this helped me. Cause like your stuff, it made me laugh. Like so many people are like, I just need to laugh at this because you know, with motherhood stuff,
you gotta laugh at those people.
We could talk about what happened to me in the airport a couple of weeks ago. I was literally just in tears. And like, you sit and think, you're like, I'm a mom of three. How am I on a restroom floor crying right now? But you just get those moments where seeing a video like yours where you can laugh, you're like, okay, I feel better.
Like, can we talk about that moment? Cause like, I couldn't, like, recently I posted on my page a video that went viral of me loading the stroller on the aisle of the plane while one of my twins was like crying. And the comments of this, I knew it was going to be a post that like garnered a lot of attention, because the amount of people that hate kids flying, straight up, they just hate kids on a plane, is wild, and they're vocal about it. Anyways, then Bree sent me a message. So tell me what happened like with you and why you were put into tears. Wild.
So we had gone to my sister's wedding out in Arizona. And I tacked on a couple days at Disneyland after it, because my kids were Disney freaks. We love it. So they were
Disney,
like,
if you guys are thinking about Disney, anything good channel to go to is Brink.
Yeah. You can ask me all your questions and I'm more than happy to talk about one of those Ikigai things. You're like, I could talk about all day long. But we're coming home. So it just had been a long, like there was a lot of emotions because of the wedding. And then, you know, Disney, you're just at the point of exhaustion, making sure that everything happened for the kids. So first leg, we had to lay over in Denver, and on the way, probably 30 minutes before we landed, my youngest has an absolute blowout seeping through his pants. Like I lift him up, I'm like running down the aisles and the flight attendants, like, sorry, I had to lock the bathroom door because we're starting to descend. And I was like, he has poop leaking through his pants. Like, please.
Yes.
Like, no. So I'm taking this very vocal 2-year-old back to his seat, who just is yelling, but I pooped. And he doesn't want to sit down because he pooped and it's everywhere. And like, I'm trying to be like, how do I get him to sit if he's supposed to have a seatbelt on? So like, I'm trying to be like, just sit on your knees, buddy, and like hold him.
Oh my gosh.
It was just like so stressful. And I'm like, everybody has to smell this at this point too. So, you know, you're just in that thing where like you're perspiring and it's so hard. So we were in row 32 by the time everybody finally takes their good old time getting off the plane and we get out. We had less than 40 minutes to make it all the way across the Denver airport to catch the next flight. I go into the restroom. There was 3 moms in line for the changing area. So I'm like, I just can't wait. So take him into the handicap stall, lay down all the toilet seat covers on the ground. So I'm changing my kid like on the floor of the bathroom. Had given him like a toy, you know, trying all the mom tricks to be like, here, lay on the ground, hold this toy. Of course, halfway through, he throws the toy, flings himself up in that like 2-year-old, like, whatever style.
Yeah.
So there's like, I have poopy wipes. There's a poopy diaper. God. He's naked. And when he flew up, his head bangs my forehead. Okay. I fly into the door that had a flimsy lock. So the door opens and I'm laying on the floor on my back in a bathroom. What? Poopy diaper, poopy wipes. He's naked, trying to grab his toy that went under the next stall. And like some people in there just started laughing, rightfully so.
Right.
I'm sure it was a scene to see. But at that point, I started crying. Yes. I was just like, oh my God, just get me out of here.
Poor thing. If I was there, I would be like, what can I do? I would get, oh my gosh. But that's like, I mean, it's great that you can like laugh about it now.
Yes.
Because definitely warrants tears. Like we laugh about the things that make us cry just because like, what are we going to do? Like, what else can you do? But yeah, it's just, kind of gives such a great, wild, funny picture of what it is to travel with little sometimes. Like, it happens. Yep. It really, literally
it
does.
Really, that's the perfect word for it. It
no?
really happened. So we made the next flight, luckily. Yeah. But to what you talked about on your one reel about people complaining about the kids, you know, we make it through this whole kerfuffle, which obviously I'm the only one who really knew what happened.
Yeah.
The woman in front of Hayden, probably an hour into the flight, turned around and was like, ma'am, your son just kicked my seat. And I was like, I apologize. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, didn't realize he did it. You know, the where like 2-year-old legs are, they pretty much like perfectly hit the back of the seat.
Exactly.
So you're like, So the rest of the flight, I'm like, buddy, put your legs on mommy. Or I'm trying to like put him on my lap and just, you know what I mean? Trying to be cognizant of it. Well, the plane landed. And as I'm, you know, gathering our belongings, he was in a seat and he must have kicked her again because she just turned around and started screaming. She's like, I already said something to you. I paid good money for this flight. And, you know, I just kept like apologizing, but she just kept it going. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, go to the airline then and try to get your money back. Like,
what am I supposed to say?
And sorry, so I also then just started crying because, again, like, I'm already just like, this has been such a long day.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It was nice. Then we got off the plane, multiple people kind of came up and were like, we didn't hear him at all on the plane. Like he was so good for a 2-year-old. Some people forget how hard it is to have one that little. So there is humanity existing out there.
It does exist. It does exist. It's just the ones like the squeaky oil gets the, it's just like, they are so vocal and so loud sometimes with like whatever they have going on. And I'm like, we're trying our best. Like there's no parent that's more stressed than like the people that seem to be stressed around. We were like feeling at times a million, we're sweating, we're crying, we're trying, we're aware, like give us grace.
We don't want there to be noise or trouble. Like, we would love it for me to peaceful flight. Trust me.
No, we just have it. We like literally. And it just kind of, that kind of like just makes me think of like a very good representation of like sharing our lives online and like our kids or things. Like there's always so much noise. Uh-huh. There's people that you reach that are amazing and they feel helped by you. And they're like, yes, like, cause you do things, I think, cause you put more positivity in the world than negative, but there's been some posts like this one, where have you, I have people coming with the most wildest comments and I'm like, who hurt you, bro? Like what are you?
I mean, it is interesting. If you're just trying to be like, what made this woman so upset? I'm like, was she, when she was a little girl, was she not allowed to like, move? Like, was she told, like, you better sit still? Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel sorry for that person. Like, oh, maybe she didn't have it.
Exactly. Maybe there was something. But do you feel that? Like, I guess because your platform is like wildly huge, like on YouTube and on Instagram. Like, do you feel like, I think that's for me a big challenge with being a content creator, especially when I'm putting my littles out or just things I'm doing as a mother and being critiqued. It's wild. And like, you really have to have a thick skin or just truly know yourself if you're going to do that. I mean, what do you feel like similar?
You definitely need a thick skin. Yeah. Like I would say to anybody who wants to start this, just like be prepared for people to say the worst thing possible to you.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody probably will. And yeah, I think you have to either have ways because it's going to still hurt in some way.
Yeah.
I think like no matter how good you are at like removing yourself from it or analyzing why that person might say something or, you know, I think there's strategies where you can block out as much of it as possible through like words or comments, like have filters on things so that 100%. You don't see as much.
Yeah.
But no, I think people, there's a lot of hurt people out there who are out to hurt, especially anybody who they feel like is putting positivity or light out there in the world. They think it's like going to help to dampen that. So to anybody out there who's like, I'm trying so hard, like I would just say to you, keep going, like, please keep going. Cause like, we need that positivity and we need people who are sharing good, helpful, kind things out there in the world. But no, I think I've definitely had days where not even days, like periods of time where I think like I had to just like really be like, is my mental health okay? Like, should I keep doing this and have like real almost come to Jesus moments with myself of like, why did you start this? Like, do you want to keep doing this? And I think at the end of the day, I always come back to like, I know I have that core group of moms and I have that core group of people who it's like, no, we're still here for each other. Like I see them every week on YouTube. There's premieres where we kind of all chat together. It's kind of like a old school AOL chat room.
Oh my God, that's the best, ASL.
It's so much fun. But it really is. It's like when you have those people, I mean, I really do. I feel like they're like my virtual girlfriends across the world that we all just get on there and talk every single week.
I love that.
And like that, I think motivates me to keep going over when I see something hateful or made up and crazy and, you know,
all the things. Yeah. I love that. And I do think like it's your gift, like is touching and helping people and like to not do that, like is actually depriving someone that might, I don't know how many people have touched me in my life that may not know it. Right. But something they put out made me feel seen. I'm like, I'm not like crazy, like something. Yeah. And that really helped. And so like knowing that you have that effect on like just a few, sometimes I think is that's like the focused, like you have to focus on that part because the noise can get like so loud. And I'll say like another thing that just makes me think of, I'm just starting YouTube. By the way, creators out here starting, go to YouTube. YouTube pays you the best. Like, I should have started.
I say to everybody, YouTube.
Like,
you're going to invest your time anywhere. YouTube.
Learning this now. Yeah. Learning. I'm finally monetized. I'm like, why didn't I start there? So anyways, I digress. But I do think as you, like YouTubers are like the new celebrities, quote unquote, like my son who's 13. All he watches is YouTube, right?
Really?
All he watches is YouTube. Like that's his TV. Like it's like, okay. I'm like, you're just, that's your thing. Like that's their new TV. And so in that same sense, I think the same way we grew up, like I didn't really ever get celebrity obsessed, but the same way that people become obsessed with celebrities or wanting to know their life or feel entitled to everything. That's what I feel like some YouTubers or any content creator can become for some people. Mm-hmm. And that entitlement, like, as you're like navigating through life, feeling the need or pressure to share or sharing when you're like, how do you navigate that? Especially if you're going through something that maybe you're not ready to share. Like how has that been for you?
Well, okay. So it has not been easy.
Yeah.
There's definitely been times where I feel like privacy has really been violated. And I think it's something that for whatever reason, depending how you've grown up, if you're not really secure understanding of, oh, I can set these boundaries, it might feel like, oh, well, to be able to be authentic, I just have to be an open book and share everything. And it's like, no, you can still be completely authentic and yourself, right? And be genuine in what you like and what you share, but you can set healthy boundaries for these are topics or things that I'm not going to discuss for my own personal happiness. They're for my family's happiness. And I think other people, in the way that you're saying, definitely have a curiosity. And I think that's okay. I think everybody's trying to understand the world. And I want to assume that a lot of people are doing it with really well intentions of, hey, I'm going through this similar thing. Like, I just kind of want to know, is it the same thing you're going through?
Yeah.
So when I was getting divorced, I never publicly spoke about it until everything was absolutely finalized from a legal perspective. And even then I questioned, like, how much do I even really need to share? But I just, like, did confirm, like, we got divorced. But while I was going through the process, I had some really sweet people who I think were going through it, like, reach out and be like, hey, rumor has it you're getting divorced. Like, do you have any advice? Like, I'm starting the process myself. So I think there was people who just were genuinely in the same thing, looking for somebody to connect and relate to. But I think, you know, when it gets into the, like, well, I want to know all the details, why, like, what happened? Like, no, that's just gonna, at least for me, stay personal.
Yeah. So. No. And, like, I think that's so inspiring. I think to, like, one, like, the first thing you named with, like, having healthy boundaries, like, that comes with a lot of work. Like, I don't know who your anchor is. I, like, if it's God, therapy, or maybe all of the above, but, like, having, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having an anchor of, like, this is my truth and I'm sticking to it regardless. Like, I'm not going to try and satisfy everyone. There's always going to, you can't satisfy everyone or give, like, everyone's going to have something to say about whatever you do. Right. But having healthy boundaries is at the center of it. So when you were, like, when you did discuss your divorce, I do think that was, like, something that maybe a lot of people were curious about, but also coming from a place of what we discussed earlier of just, like, helping others. Like, this is something I'm going through. If you can relate, this is what, like, resources I found or, like, how that's been a journey for me. And I want to, like, I do want to say, like, I just read an article the other day where it said 70% of kids in 2023, late 2023, where we are now, are growing up in two-parent households. Not like the two parents are in the home together. It's like they're splitting their time between two parents. Uh-huh. And that's, like, it's not, that's what's normal now. Like, let's normalize that co-parenting and divorced families is happening. And that's not necessarily a failure or a bad thing. Like, what's the upside? Like, what's the beauty in that? I'm not saying, like, yes, it's hard, right? Is what I'm assuming. But also, like, how can we get more voices who are talking about what they did? The same way everything, I think back in the day, we didn't know about postpartum depression and anxiety. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't even have language for that with my first.
Yeah.
We started talking about it. How helpful has that been? So I'm going to stop talking. I would love for you to just, as you have gone through this journey, if there's anything you could tell, like, some of our listeners, like, about how you emotionally coped, things you wish you knew, like, things that have come out now of, like, on the other side of it, what has navigating through your divorce and sharing your life online been like?
Yeah. It hasn't been easy.
Yeah.
So I can't say, like, oh, this was, like, a walk in the park. I keep on hoping that maybe as time passes, because it's still relatively fresh. It's not quite a year since everything was finalized. It will be, like, next month. But I keep on hoping that as time passes, I can get to a place where I can more openly share hey, if you're just starting the process, here are things that could help you. Or, like, as you get closer to finalizing it, here are things. And then, like, a year out, maybe here are things that make you feel better. Cause I still feel like I'm living a lot of just, especially co-parenting.
Yeah.
Like, learning how to do that the best way. So yes, I feel like I'm still constantly learning and being a perfectionist, of course, like, I have this ideal of how it will go. And it's funny because I've called one of my best friends, her parents were, like, the dream of co-parenting. Like, they, every holiday were together. When her mom got remarried, she now very is just, like, two dads. They walked her down the aisle. I mean, right now, this day, they're all at, like, Disneyland together. She, like, called ask me for tips on Disneyland. I'm like, you guys have the dream. And, like, of course I'm like, ooh, I want that, but I have to be realistic and be like, not everybody has her mom and dad's personalities and then the new husband's personality where that could just work. And they're, like, three best friends. So, I know. Right.
One can wish.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes. So I think, like, there's that dream that you can keep on being like, okay, as easy I can, as I can make it for the kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to keep trying to do those things. And I think that's what honestly helped me through a lot of this is just feeling like, you know what? I'm my kid's mom. I know them really well. And I'm just going to try to do whatever I think is going to be best for them and like advocating for what's going to work in their situation. And I will say the one thing that I think as maybe time goes on that I want to try to be more thoughtful of giving moms help with is you're setting up this custody arrangement if you're, mm-hmm. you know, if you're divorcing with kids and your kids are just a certain age. So I at least have like three kind of spread out. So it was like, okay, this seems to make sense for the 8-year-old. But the time of talking about it, my littlest, I was still breastfeeding him. And I was like, mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense for him to be gone from me for this long. Yeah. And I almost feel like you need to, if I could go back and tell myself then, I would be like, think more of what his needs are going to be from like 2 to 4. And then think about, okay, once he's in preschool, maybe how it will look a little different. And then once they're all in like 5-day-a-week school, maybe then how it should look a little different instead of just having this like, okay, here's going to be the arrangement from like now forward. Yeah. To me, it's hard when kids grow and change. It's like, well, the model should kind of fit with them as they grow and change a bit more. I don't know. Sorry. There's like so much to this topic, obviously, like there's so many facets of it. Am I answering what your question
was? Yes, you are. You are. No, you really are. And I kind of want to like go back a little bit just because as I'm thinking, like we're jumping, like when people get divorced, it's hard regardless. When you have the kids, it's just another layer. Right. Mm-hmm. But like something I want to name that I see in you and a lot of our listeners, a lot of my followers, kids, marriage is hard in general, right? Mm-hmm. Kids amplify it times 100. Twins amplify it like twice as fast sometimes.
I'm sure.
You know
what I mean? Like, I'm sure.
It's stressful, right? If anyone tells you, oh, it's not, they're lying. I'm telling you right now, it's a stress on your marriage. And how you navigate through that is how you navigate through. And some like navigate through it and then some decide that it's not right for them. Some stay in misery. And so my question to you is that I had a lot of questions from moms who or like, I don't like my husband. I hate this. I'm on the verge of a divorce. Like, and either they don't have, I don't want to say like, it takes courage to do that. And so I'm asking you, like, where did you find that? Like, I admire you for making that decision where I feel like so many people are scared to come out the other side. So did you feel courageous in the moment? How did you decide? Like, what, tell me through that process for you.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying right there, people living in misery. Yeah. I think a lot of moms, unfortunately, that's very normalized just in motherhood.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you should. Like, too bad. That's what moms have to do. A good mom has to, you know, sacrifice this for her kids.
Right.
And obviously, as moms, we sacrifice things. But I would challenge everyone to say, well, why isn't it parents sacrifice? Like, if you're the only one sacrificing things and your partner isn't because of male versus female stereotypes, like that's when you need to have a real conversation. And then if things don't change, I mean, and this is just what I'm saying to anybody, if like you're in this, like, well, I'm miserable and his life has stayed the same. Like that's a lot of the content I see on Instagram 100%. Is like, when I had kids, my body changed, my ability to go out with my friends changed, my ability to work out or go do hobbies that I like to do changed, but like, he still plays in the basketball league with his buddies and like his body's the same and he still mm-hmm. does all with his friends. And like, that's where I think there is this thing of like, well, good mom's at home with the baby, but like dad can still just go live his life. And it's like, and I think there should just be so much more of a focus on what's making mom happy. What's making dad happy? Because dad should be happy too. And I'm not saying that dad shouldn't get to go play with his friends, basketball or whatever, he wants to do. But I think it needs to be much more focused on like, what's going to make both parents happy? Because that's how we have strong, happy, healthy families is if both parents are happy and that can trickle down to their kids. And then their kids have that modeling too of whether, you know, they're boy or girl, it's okay. This is how my parents both did things so that they could be happy. And that's how then I can make good choices in my life and set healthy boundaries for myself in my life and know when to say no and know when to say yes. And, you know, I think moms get so much pressure put on us and like so much what I've read too is we're physiologically wired that when we go to bed at night, like that's our survival mechanisms. We sit there and analyze everything that happened that day. Did we make the right choices? Like it's part of our survival mode.
Which I wish that wasn't a part of it. Jeez, do it. God.
I know, but it just explains, it's like, okay, the mental load truly is just like a very natural, real thing that unless you have a partner that is willing to understand that and make changes to support all of that, you can just end up feeling like you're living in misery.
Yeah.
And that's not good for you. Like, so to any mom out there, like if you're feeling that way, I'm not saying like, oh, divorce is the first thing you should go do, but I think you should really think about like, what will make me happy?
Yeah.
And if it's at the point where it's like, this just like nothing is working. Like we've tried it all. Like we've tried the therapy. We've tried work talking about household roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like you just reach the point where like, I'm not happy. Like everyone should be happy and know that divorce is really like, I wouldn't wish it on anyone because there's a lot of sad and grief and loss and change and hard things. But if you can work through all the hard to a place where you're feeling happy and healthy again, and don't have the whatever was toxic from that relationship moving forward with you, I think that's better, especially if you have children in the mix for them to have like a happier, healthier parent.
I love that you said that. Cause like at the end of the day, you said like, it's about having two happy adults, right? Mm-hmm. And you really tried everything and you all don't think you can get there together and you have kids, 110%, it's better to be happy apart and like get, let them see that. As I was a child of divorce, my parents divorced, I think when I was around 5.
Okay. So you were young.
I was young.
Do you remember a lot of it? I'm just curious.
It's interesting. I don't remember. I kind of remember the conversation, like me and daddy love each other and love you very much, but we are like, you know, like that conversation. I kind of remember being like, what's happening? Confused, but not really internalizing what was happening.
Yeah.
And then we lived in separate homes and it just became my new normal. It wasn't like traumatic. It wasn't. It just was what it was. I've had friends whose parents have gotten divorced way later, like when they're in college, and it was very traumatizing for them because they're just able to really.
Yeah. I just have one younger sister.
Yeah.
So she was in 7th grade. We were pretty big age gap. She was in 7th grade and I had just went to college. So 2 weeks after I went, I came home to visit and that's when they told us the news. So it was really traumatic because it was truly like that we were this like foursome all of our lives. And then it was like, I had broken off. Then my dad had broken off and my mom, because of the job she worked of like a lot of like nights and weekends, like her and my sister didn't even see each other. So it was truly like, it felt like our family completely fractured.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was pretty traumatic. So,
right. And so that's even like, like our examples of like, I didn't feel trauma of them getting divorced. It became my new normal, but like if you stick it out sometimes just for the sake of it, and you do it later, it doesn't necessarily protect the child, right? Because as someone that had it young, I don't remember their relationship as loving. I just don't remember. I have like one distinct memory of them linking arms. I was like, whoa, like weird, right? Mm-hmm. I do remember a lot of fights. Remember a lot of yelling. And I remember that stopping when we were living in separate, you know, I was visiting my dad and my mom. And I just remember being like, oh, they're a lot, like, they don't fight everybody. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And so they were both better adults, better parents by making that very hard and selfless decision. I think it's a little selfish to stay married because you don't want like maybe the stigma or whatever, go through it.
Does that resonate? I think there's this mentality of, oh, I'm going to stick it out for the kids so that they can have like a normal life until they're an adult. And I think it's actually so much more confusing because then at that point you're aware and you're like, you almost feel guilty because you're like, that's what I felt. I was like, so you stuck this out for me and you were miserable. And now I feel that guilt of like, you did this for me and you weren't happy. Like, that's really hard for a kid to like process.
Right.
So it's really hard.
Right. Yeah. And then it's also, it's just interesting. I think we're in a new generation, right? Like where, like, we're not saying like normalized divorce. It's just, it's becoming more common to have that. And it's like, I think also if I think of my grandparents, they probably were married like 90 years. I'm not even kidding. Cause they lived to be like 108, which is really sweet. And like, that's beautiful. And also it's a different time where I feel like women are making money. The society, like going back as a divorcee woman, is not like, oh my God, you know, like we're just in a different time. So some of those like old traditional things and fears that might be ingrained in us because they were ingrained in our parents and that was the generations that came before us are really in our head, right? And like, it's blocking out the noise again and like deciding what's best for you. That's what's best for your kids. And that's what's
best for me. I could be wrong about this. Maybe we should like look this up.
We'll look this up.
But I swear I heard in something, like I listened to a lot of audiobooks when I was going through a divorce. And I swear it talked about that in the generations where it was like not until the 60s that you needed a male on like whether it was a home or an apartment. So it really was like you were stuck if you were married and wanted out of a relationship, unless you had like a brother or a father who was like, I'll get on the house with you or I'll get on the apartment with you. You couldn't even buy your own property like 100%. If you were leaving a marriage, which is crazy.
Which is wild. And it's so funny. I did like this, I'm not going to go into it, but this brand, and it was out of Utah, and we had to sign something, and my husband had to sign it recently. And I was like, wait, what? They're like, oh, it's just Utah. So I don't know. We should look this up also, people. But like, I literally
have nobody could see my eyes because this is a podcast. But I mean, like, you just saw my eyes completely pop out of my skull.
Right. And my husband was like, why am I saying this? I was like, I don't know. This is the freaking contract. It just was wild. So I don't think that like, maybe it was an outdated thing. And I even like asked him about it. The brand deal went through. I was like, this is weird. But it was like something strange like that this year where, not saying it's still happening, but what you're saying is obviously it happened in the 60s, but we should look up the Utah thing. I don't know y'all, but they had some two signature things. And I was like, okay. Anyway, you mentioned that you were listening to audiobooks or like different resources. Like what things do you think you would suggest to folks that may be going through something like this, going through a divorce?
So the biggest person I would be like, just listen to her book. It was called Moms Moving On. Her name's Michelle Dempsey. She actually has a podcast with the same title.
Okay.
And she brings on anybody from lawyers to therapists to, I mean, oodles of occupations, like every way that can kind of touch divorce. And it's very centered on like, how can I make this the best for the kids? So I really appreciated not only that kind of being my like grounding of like, what's going to be best for the kids in this, but hearing from all those different occupations, even on her podcast, the different interviews. And it's actually how she interviewed like a coach on there who I ended up, I hired a coach actually.
Oh.
So those like first 6 months after everything that I was kind of going through, I was just like, I think I need that like emotional support person who I can just be like, I'm having a really hard time going through this right now. Or like, as we're making these big decisions, like it's so complex and feels like, what if I make the wrong choice in all of this? And so that was really helpful. I ended up hiring one of the coaches that she interviewed. Amazing.
So it's like a coach, would you say? I also too had a life coach where I like describe it different from therapy, but like how, what, like, was it like a, like, what was the coach like? Was it specifically for like going through a divorce or how was it different from therapy?
And it was really helpful too, because she had also, she was like a mom who'd gone through divorce. And so she could speak to like all of my fears, like kind of how I was saying, like she's been out of it for a little bit. So she was good at being like, think about this, like in a couple of years, this might feel a little bit different. So maybe you can think about that right now when you're making this decision. So I would say like therapy to me, because I was still doing that at the same time too.
Yeah.
It was always sort of unpacking the trauma or sort of like somebody who I could talk to and be like, okay, I need help getting over this. Whereas I think she helped me with a little bit more of the practical.
Yeah.
But she was still like emotionally supportive of like, I get why this is hard. Like, you know, she gave me strategies of things too, or like journal prompts. Like, why don't you write about this? And maybe it will help you come to your answer for whatever's causing you distress this week. But I think like those two in combination, it really helped me to get through it. Cause I am the type of person where even though there are trusted friends that I will go to, I get to a point where, or even some days where they'll like, it'll be like something happened every day that week. And they'll call and be like, how's your day? And I'll be like, we're just not talking about it today.
Yeah.
Not that I like don't want, but it's like, I've burdened you with enough already this week. I want to take it to therapy and my coach.
Yeah. Yes. And having that is like so helpful. I love how you just named that too, because I do think therapy is looking back, like why are things happening, and coaching, it's like, what are we going to do? You know, and then maybe having someone with that bird's eye view, like you said, someone that can step out of it, it could just be so helpful. I do wonder, have like, so we got a question on this and you can answer if you want, but like everyone wants to know, like, how do I move on after? Like, what's dating like? Is that going to be when you're married? I don't know. I haven't kissed anyone else other than my husband. And like, girl, I don't even know. So like just, I couldn't imagine like starting over. How has that been? How's that process for you?
So I will say, and it was something in a lot of the books that I read that was okay. Almost like women, like when we kind of know like that this is over, it's yeah. over. And then probably by the time like you're going through all the legalities of everything, it's been like, okay, for months now, I'm like,
yes,
done yeah. and over kind of a thing. So I think in your mind, like at least for me, it had felt like, okay, this has been like for a long time that this relationship yeah. had been over. But yeah. obviously there's just like legal things we had to wait on yeah. for a judge's stamp of approval. Like for context, we'd signed everything in May and the stamp of approval didn't come till November. So it was like, if a judge in May had just been like, I'm available stamp, it was, you know what I mean? It would have been over in May, you know right. what I'm saying? So that's where it's like the legal process of right. it all, yeah. I think can just be like, we're done.
Yeah.
you know, like we moved yeah. into separate households. We were following the terms right. that we had agreed to. And it had just waited until November for there to be a, it's official.
Official thing, yeah. Stamp.
So I think for me, it was more like, quite honestly, encouraged by my friends because they were like, yeah. you're going to be lonely. And all of us are married. So like we, you know, it's like, I get it. They're at home and married and with their kids. And they're like, don't you want to go out and like have yeah. fun? And in the beginning, I was like, no, like that's the furthest thing that I want to do. But then a couple months, it was kind of like, you know what? It probably would be just like fun to like meet some people. And I wasn't going into it like, oh, I want to get right. married again. And I'm like looking for another husband. It was truly kind of what you said. It's like, I haven't dated since I was 22. Back then we didn't even do online dating. Like, I don't even know. Right. It was where I was like trying to learn this new process. I was like, so how does this work? Like, what should I, what characteristics on here?
Like what actually my flight.
Yeah. so yeah, it was truly just like an, like, okay, I'm just going to like explore and see what's changed. And one of the big pieces of advice from another person I saw on Instagram, she was just like, you know, don't put on your dating profiles that you have kids out of safety. Cause she's like, they're actually, and like, again, I'm not trying to be like, oh, get
no,
scared.
But this is,
but she's like, there are people that will pray cause they kind of know like, ooh, if you have kids and you're probably then either divorced or leaving like a bad situation. And like people will kind of prey upon those people. And she said, she's like, any man who you actually do go out on that first date with, who you at that point still think is worth your time, and he feels like you'd still be worth his time, can find out on like the second date.
Right. Right.
Right. And so, yeah, so I also took that into play and I, yeah. you know, I didn't go out on like too many dates,
yeah.
to be honest with you, but I never really declared it. Cause again, just was kind of like, okay, my kids are like my world and the center right. of everything.
Right. So. But it's so healthy too. And it's also like figuring out you again. Like when we were in a marriage for so long and I'm still in one, like I grew in it. Right. But like yep. it's growing out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, and exploring and knowing like, who am I, who's Brianna, like
yeah.
whatever, you know, maiden name, you know, like,
yeah.
So I just think that that's so empowering. And so many people I think are scared, like, anything worth doing, not to say it's like worth doing, but everything that's like life changing should feel a little scary. I feel like you should get a little bit, or am I, what do you think?
I think it's, well, like what level of scary? Cause I'm
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah.
trust if like somebody it seems.
No, not like
I know, you know, but
yeah. yeah.
I mean, I think you should though have that, like the butterfly.
Inside, yes. That's what I mean.
Right. Where you're yeah. kind of like, ooh, like.
Yeah. What am I uncomfortable?
Like I'm nervous, excited about this, but if you're yeah. like, ooh, this doesn't seem
right.
This makes me feel unsafe. You should be like,
yeah, not unsafe, scary, but like maybe uncomfortable, slightly anxious, butterfly, scary. Yes. Like is what.
Because yeah. I do. Like, I think that's when we grow, and I think that's really when, like you said, you learn who am I yeah. now after everything that I've been through and gone through. And I think you're right. Like so many of us, especially if we get married younger.
Yeah.
And then like our career is probably completely changed from when we were at that point when we got married. And yeah. then you have kids and your kids and their personalities and needs and things have probably shaped you then into who the person,
right person.
You are now in a totally different way. And you know, whether you've moved, like when we moved to Hawaii, that was one yeah. of our just like the biggest blessings for me to experience in my life. Cause I came from this like Ohio where everyone's very like, well, what do you do? Like, what is your occupation? Like, what is your job? Mm. And that pretty much then defined really spills over into then like, okay, so what does that mean about like who you hang out with or, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And in Hawaii, nobody asks what you do. It's literally like, well, what do you like to do? Do you like to hike or do you like to go to the beach or like, do you want to go kayaking? Like everything's about like, what are we going to do to enjoy Hawaii? And I really don't care what you do. And probably where you're like barefoot rolling into the office anyways, like might've gone surfing during lunch. So like, doesn't matter. Like it just, it's so much more of like, let's come together and do things that we like to do together and enjoy this beautiful place where we live and this really cool culture. And I'm just so glad I got to experience that because it really did make me shift into like how we were saying, like, who is it that makes you happy? Like, who do you want to be around that likes the same things as you and likes to do the same things as you? And that's going to make you so much happier than trying to like fit in occupationally, I guess.
Right. 100%. It's so funny because I ask a lot of moms and it's like a running joke, like, what are your hobbies? Right. Or like, what do you like? Cause like, I think certain things kind of define our identities as we get older, like our partners, our marriage, then our kids. And then at some point it's like you give and you give and you give, but like, are you, you know, filling your cup or whatever, like, you know, cliche thing you want to say. It's like, who, what do you like? What do you like to do outside of things that like are normally in society define you? It's funny that you mentioned Hawaii because my husband plays reggae. And so in Hawaii, they're like huge. They're like on the radio there because you go on the radio there. It's like, yeah, that's like, it's just like so chill and like happy. Like no one's like singing about the beach and like singing about life. And it's just like such a fun, like reggae kind of culture. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I totally understand that like shift of perspective if you move there at all.
Yeah. The music's the best. It really is.
Like, yeah. So I love good. That. So I guess thinking of like final words of encouragement for any listeners that might be going through thinking about coming out of a divorce or in maybe the, like just all that you just embodied with YouTubers, divorcee, what words of encouragement would you say to a listener taking something from your story today?
Yeah. Oh gosh, there would just be some, like I'm kind of like the biggest cheerleader. So
yeah, do it, girl. I was really a cheerleader in high school. So I'm here for it. Ready? Okay.
It really is though of the keep going. Cause there were so many days where I was even like, I'm going to quit this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I didn't. And I just kept going and keep on thinking about if it doesn't hurt anybody else and makes you happy, why are you not doing that more?
Yeah. Yeah, like in terms of like creation, YouTube. Yeah.
Yep. Or just even in life though.
In life,
situation of divorce of like, if you are not hurting anyone else and it makes you happy, why aren't you doing it more?
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you working into as much of your week as possible? And truly just there can be so much happiness on the other side of something really hard. I know you talked about the discomfort. Yeah. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be really sad. There's going to be really hard decisions that you're going to probably question yourself on a million times. But I think if you're a mom and you're doing what's best for your kids and you're pushing towards a life where you're going to be the happiest mom that you can be, you're doing the right thing.
Mm. Chills. Literally. Thank you so much, friend. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
Oh gosh. Were there any other questions that people asked that you were like, ooh, like this would really help them or.
I think we kind of got into it. Let me just double check. My notes.
I just want to try to be as helpful as
No, you've been so amazing. Like literally, I'm going to say a thank you, but thank you. I think we kind of talked to someone said, did you redefine like, or what goals changed like since becoming divorced when you don't have to think about another person and it's like your own personal goals or ambitions? Are they different for you now?
I would say I still have the same love for travel and goals of places that I want to go and do and see. Some of those though, just with three younger kids, it can be a little harder without having that partner that can kind of, you know, there is another adult present to go through things. But I wouldn't say no. Like, I feel like I still am the same sort of like career ambitious mom that I want to, you know, the reason I do what I do is I just want my kids to never not be able to do an activity. We didn't talk about this too much, but just, you know, growing up, I grew up in a really humble household.
Yeah.
The first in my family to go to college. And even like I got into my dream college, and because of the cost, I couldn't go. And I mean, everything has obviously worked out fine.
Very well. Yeah.
But I think it is just one of those things in my brain where I'm like, I don't want, like, if my kid worked so hard to like get into this dream college, I want to be like, go.
Yeah.
Like, you did it. Go. And so I think that's kind of just what my, why I do everything I do is because I just don't want my kids to ever be like, I can't take this dance class, or I can't join this competitive cheerleading squad because of the money, or I can't go to the college I wanted. I just want them to be like, nope, you can do it, or like, I'll figure out a way.
Exactly. Yes. I love that. You know, I think something I've heard from you, like, it's just to be happy. Like, I think that's like everyone's goal in life.
Yep.
Is to be a happy version of you, to be able to do the things you love, and so that your kids can have experiences. Like, that's what I hear you say. And so it's just like so awesome and inspiring. And I want to thank you wholeheartedly for coming on here. I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate your authenticity. I appreciate you trusting me in this audience. I know there's going to be so many tidbits to get so much from you. Where can people follow along on your journey and find you and buy your cookbook, because it's really good? All the things.
Oh, well, thank you. No, yeah. I loved getting to talk to you, and I'm so just also inspired by you and everything you do. And just thank you for the laughs and the encouragement that you offer. And I'm just so excited to listen to the other guests on your podcast. I know you've got to be picking, like, I'm sure you're picking really good people. So I cannot wait to listen to more episodes. So I'm at Bits of Brie on Instagram. And if you go to Amazon, my cookbook's on there. It's the Bits of Brie cookbook. And if you'd like to watch my YouTube videos, there's a new one every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And my YouTube name is Brianna K, because again, I started that before I realized that this was going to be like a full-time gig. So it was just like my name and initial for a little bit of anonymity. I can't say that word right now. Anonymity. it's like the Nemo. Anemone.
Right.
But yes, so I started that long before. So it's Brianna K on YouTube.
And we'll make sure to put all that in our notes and everything else. And then you have a cleaning line, right? Cap and Queen.
I do. So if you go to capandqueen.com, there's a seasonal scent every single month, and the holiday ones are so good. I also have some OG scents that are truly like the perfect year-round scents. If you want to know my favorite, check out the Cocoa Butter Cashmere. It's so good. But yes, you can check everything out on Cap and Queen. You know, like you kind of said this, I didn't know I could be inspired by watching Clean With Me videos.
Yes.
And part of it is like, if you're doing this, I was like, if you have a really good sense, it's almost like a form of therapy, or like a more of a Zen spa, like than like work experience. So that's what I really wanted to create with this line, was you get to clean with something that smells like Christmas, or clean with something that smells like your, the Calm Coconut Mint is my Hawaii-inspired one, but it's like you're in a Hawaii spa while you're cleaning.
Yes.
And I just feel like we deserve that. Like, when you're at home and you're doing all this work as a busy mom, it's like you might as well enjoy the experience and be a little happier cleaning.
100%.
So, whether you're treating yourself or treating girlfriends for Christmas. Exactly.
Like, and smell has such a strong ability to make you feel nostalgic, happy, sad. Like, literally, it's a big sense. So I'm here for it. And the fact that you have holiday senses, if anybody's watching this video, it is not, it's, what is it, October? But like, Brie has her like Christmas tree. She is on it with the holiday season. I'm like, oh yeah, like it's, she's on it. Like, very different from me, and I'm just inspired. So definitely check that out. Well, again, thank you, Brianna, so much for being here. This has been another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. Bye, y'all. Peace. And that is it for today's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before we bounce, I'm gonna leave y'all with two requests. The first is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow along and leave us a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever your preferred platform is. These ratings do a lot for our engagement, but also gives us the inspiration, the push to keep on showing up for you all week after week with some great content that we are sure you're going to enjoy. And secondly, follow us on our socials. You can find me at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram and at That Twin Mama on YouTube. on Instagram, you'll see a lot of short form versions of these videos, but a lot of content that relates to the subject matter week after week that I am sure you're going to love. So until then, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for all your support, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks, y'all.